It sounds like the hay fever season from the various sniffles and coughs. So if a glass of water helps, go to the kitchen and get yours. That's where I got mine. But you'll have to get your own. Okay, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14 for our verse-by-verse exposition. Last week, as you recall, we talked about the great privilege of prayer. Jesus says, here's the door, here's the key, ask, and here are some of the conditions. There's one other condition that we did not mention much. It's an important one. 1 John 3:22 says this, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Obeying God's commandments doesn't earn the things we pray for, but disobeying him very well forfeits them. Faith is the key that opens the door of prayer, but sin locks it. So it's fitting in John 14 that Jesus follows up the great privilege of prayer with this great responsibility of obeying his commandments. As we've gone through John's gospel, we usually take a paragraph at a time, but occasionally we just settle on one important verse like the one we look at today. So look at John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's see what it means. Just a short verse, but very important. The Bible tells us there are many important ingredients of living the Christian life. Belief, repentance, reading the Bible, prayer, evangelism, church attendance, and so on. And obedience. Very important. Keeping God's commandments. We sing that song, Trust and Obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Someone said, trust and obey are the two legs we walk on when we follow Jesus. Trust and obey. Extremely important in the Bible, but too often ignored or even opposed by some Christians. There's something in us that doesn't want to do this, and yet there's something else in us that does want to. The truth is, friends, God really does want us to obey him. He deserves it. He demands it. He expects it. Now, the most important part of following Christ is loving God. The greatest of all commandments, and it is a commandment to love him. But it's inseparable from the other commandments. Listen to these words from 1 John 5. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. I got out my concordance to the Bible, and I did a little study on this, and I'm going to give you some of the results this morning. But I looked up the word commandment, or plural, commandments. You know, it's found 333 times in the Bible. And the verb command is found 563 times. Obviously, by just a statistical count, this is not a small thing. Now, there are two big misunderstandings and reactions that people have to the very idea of commandment. So let's very briefly answer those before we get into the heart of the subject. Number one is this. Whenever we think of commandment, we are not saying, underscore that, we are not saying we are saved by keeping God's commandments. So many people jump to that wrong conclusion. They often reason like this, well, if we are condemned for breaking his commandments, it stands to reason that we are saved by keeping his commandments. Doesn't work like that. Let's look at that a little bit closer. Because you say, okay, if that was true, how many commandments do you have to keep to be saved? So they usually say, well, there are 10, so I guess if we keep 6, which 6? How often? Does God just say pick and choose which 6? No, it doesn't work like that. So this false idea usually rationalizes it and usually says, well, okay, we've broken some, but at least if we've kept a few of them of our own choosing, then God will save us. No, it becomes ludicrous. No. The Bible says we are not saved by keeping God's commandments in part or in whole. Theoretically, if we kept them all the time, we could be saved. No, but then we're born in sin too. So it's not good deeds outweighing bad, keeping them outweighing not keeping them. No, the Bible repeatedly says, like in Ephesians 2, by grace we are saved by faith, not by keeping commandments of the law. So the order is we are saved by faith, but then out of gratitude, we show love to God and to others, and then we follow through with obeying His commandments. So there's the first misunderstanding of commandments. The other one is something that Christians often face, and it's this. It seems with some Christians, as soon as you mention words like commandment, law, obedience, a little bell starts ringing in their mind and they say, whoa, no, that's legalism. And we don't live by legalism. They just kind of overreact to this. They kind of recoil to the word commandment like a vampire recoils from a cross. No. And so there's something in them that doesn't want to think about the subject of commandments. Isn't it strange that obeying God's commandments is so important in the Bible, and yet people that say they believe the Bible recoil from it and hunt for 100 excuses not to obey. And this has become very popular today in contemporary Christianity. For example, how many contemporary Christian songs can you name that's all about obeying God's commandments? Quick, can you think of even one? What about contemporary so-called seeker-sensitive worship services? I'll tell you the secret. I've seen it in the books that promote this. They say, don't talk about obedience or sin or commandments. That'll keep people away. Well, that's human wisdom, not God's word. It's over and over in God's word. So we're to do it by His book, not by our thinking. And the Bible puts a high premium on this. And the same thing could be said for evangelism, discipleship, counseling. How can you leave out this key ingredient that God Himself lays down? Okay, those are the two errors on both sides of the road. Let's stick to the middle of the road that the Bible lays down for us. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, that's all that matters. Just love me and do whatever you want to. If you want to obey, that's fine. If you don't, well, that's fine too. He doesn't say that. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keeping His commandments is not an optional extra. It's not if we feel like it. There are some people that write these little booklets, and I've seen them. I won't name them, but they'll say, you know, you get saved by faith, but later if you want to be a disciple, a super Christian, then you dedicate yourself to obeying God. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's not an optional extra for super Christians. Everybody should keep God's commandments. First, even non-Christians are held accountable to obey God's commandments without excuse. But even Christians should strive for this and should be higher on their list of priorities. There are no excuses. We shouldn't obey His commandments just when we feel like it or when it's to our advantage. It's not a good advice. About 15 years ago, the television celebrity Ted Koppel gave a famous speech at Duke University, and he said something that caught everybody off guard. I don't remember the context, but his words were these. I would remind you that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he did not carry with him the 10 suggestions. Well, I say good for Ted Koppel. They're not 10 pieces of advice. They are commandments, orders, not simply good ideas. In fact, the Bible says these qualify what is our duty. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. 1 John 3:22 also tells us more about what it means to keep His commandments. To keep His commandments, according to this verse, is to do that which is pleasing in His sight. Now, logically and linguistically, therefore, you can turn it around and say, if keeping His commandments is pleasing in His sight, not keeping them is displeasing in His sight. Bible also says it's not simply enough to know His commandments, although I wonder how many Christians know His commandments. Sometimes I wish I could be like a school teacher and throw a pop quiz your way and maybe put a blank piece of paper in the bulletin and say, pop quiz, for 5 minutes, don't look around, don't open your Bible, write down the Ten Commandments. How many here would be able to do that? You know, Gallup does these polls regularly and asks people, what do you think of the Ten Commandments? Oh, over 90% of Americans say they think the Ten Commandments are good. And something like 70% says that they should be even be recited in the schools. Okay. And then Gallup says, can you name the Ten Commandments? Ooh, it's less than 20% can name them. And less than 10% can even name them in order. I wonder how many of us can name them. But you see, it's not enough simply to know them, although there are people that can recite them because it's drilled in their heads in Sunday school or in daily Bible studies. But it's not enough simply to know them. The Bible says we need to keep them and obey them. Some people will have them on a little plaque in their bedroom or in the kitchen above the sink so that they can read them. That's good, but the Bible wants His commandments written on our hearts so that we may obey them. Now, when I got out my concordance and I looked up commandment, I also did a check. What verbs are used for obeying them and for disobeying them? Let me tell you some of the ones that I jotted down. To keep His commandments, to obey His commandments, to listen to His commandments, to follow His commandments, to remember, to do His commandments, to respect His commandments, to honor them, to believe them, to learn His commandments, to fear His commandments, and on it goes. Now, the opposite for disobeying is this: to break His commandments, to forget His commandments, to rebel against them, to turn aside from His commandments, to wander from them, to delay to keep them. That's an interesting one. It says to delay to keep His commandments. Welcome. Come right on in, folks. Take a seat right there. We're looking at the Word of God on keeping God's commandments. Welcome back. I remember you. Welcome back. Okay. It says here in the Bible, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Notice the personal pronoun. If you love me, you keep my commandments. You see, when we come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior, we have a personal relationship. Jesus is speaking to His apostles that knew Him and loved Him. So He says, if you, Peter, if you, John, James, Judas has already left. He didn't love me. But if you love me, you keep my commandments. It's a personal thing that He expects. It's important for us to know them and to read them in the Bible. But you know, as I studied this, something interesting came out of the Bible that a lot of us overlook, and maybe some of you don't know, and it's this. We should know His commandments, and that holds us extra accountable to obey them. But even if we don't know them, did you know the Bible holds us accountable anyway? If Richard Hollis was here, and he's out of town this weekend, he's a lawyer, he'd say, oh yes, there's an old legal maxim that says ignorance of the law is no excuse. If you break the law, the district attorney is going to say, well, that might mitigate a little bit, but that doesn't let you off the hook because you didn't know, because you should have known. God holds us accountable. No, you're a Christian, you have a Bible. Have you read it? Have you studied it? So there are many laws in here, hundreds of laws. There are over 600 in the first 5 books of the Bible. And God holds us accountable even if we don't know what those are, because we should have known what they are. You say, preacher, are you sure about that? Yes. You say, chapter and verse. Okay, I'll give it to you. Leviticus 4:22. Listen to this. If a ruler has sinned and done something ignorantly against any of the commandments of the Lord his God in anything which should not be done and is guilty. Ignorantly means without knowing it. And so it's like if you've broken one of God's commandments that you didn't know, you should have known, God holds you accountable. Now, you're not as guilty as someone that knew the commandments and then consciously disobeyed such and such a commandment, but yet you are still held accountable. That tells us how important this matter of keeping His commandments really is. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, my commandments. Now, this doesn't mean that he has a separate set of commandments from the fathers. I've heard people try to say that. Boy, the excuses people cook up to get around obeying God. And this is one of them. They say, well, you know, God the Father is kind of like a thundering God. And Jesus is a nice God. Oh, the Father gives us all these commandments and we can't keep them. So Jesus kind of comes to us like a good friend and says, well, don't worry about all that. All that with Moses and Mount Sinai and all that. Well, you know, okay, God's angry, but I'll kind of shield you. This is nonsense, but this is how the rationale goes. So they say, nice Jesus, meek and mild, just kind of lowers the standard and says, well, don't worry about all those commandments. Just keep my commandments, just a few of them. Be nice to each other and do unto others as you want them to do to you. And, you know, just easy, nice things. That is not true. Jesus is God. He doesn't have a separate set of commandments from his Father. He simply repeats them and reiterates them. There are over 600 in the first five books of Moses, but a few of those are no longer applicable. Like, we don't have to bring an animal sacrifice to worship. We don't have to have circumcision and other things. But those ceremonies of the Jewish nation may not apply, but there's still hundreds in the Old Testament and hundreds in the New. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How many of them? All of them. That's what is implied. In fact, when I did that study on the word commandments, I was amazed how many times God says, keep all of my commandments, statutes, and laws. Not some. It's explicitly stated to keep all of his commandments. So just let your mind wander and remember, what are some of the commandments that come to your mind when you think of this verse? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What does your conscience tell you about some of the commandments that are particularly applicable to you? Well, let me remind you of some of them. The Ten Commandments, you know those. How about the commandment to worship the Lord your God? Or to confess sin? To repent of sin? How about this commandment? Husbands, love your wives. Or this one, wives, submit to your husbands. That's a commandment. How about this one? Children, obey your parents. How about this commandment? Search the scriptures, that is, read your Bibles. How about this one? Pray without ceasing. Prayer is a commandment, not just a privilege. How about this one? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Going to church regularly is a commandment. Helping the poor, caring for the sick, visiting the elderly. Communion. You can't have communion at home. It's for the body of Christ. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. That's a commandment. Baptism is a commandment. Evangelism. Jesus said, go into all the world and tell people the gospel. Not good advice. That's a commandment. And it goes on and on and on. Jesus said, if you love me, keep these commandments. Now, when we look at the commandments, we find some are positive and some are negative. Like in the Ten Commandments, some of them are positive. Honor your father and your mother. Keep the Sabbath day. But some are negative. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. And so you find the balance there, positive and negative. And by the way, whenever there's a positive commandment, its opposite is forbidden. And when there's a negative commandment, the opposite is commanded. Just think about that sometime. Now, some of the commandments seem easy. For example, I think most of us find it easy to say, well, I don't kill. There's one commandment I'm pretty good on. It's like the guy that, you know, the soldier that went into chapel and the preacher was preaching on the Ten Commandments and he comes out and says to his buddy, well, at least I ain't worshiped no idols lately. You know, I kept one of those commandments. There's some of them where we kind of find it easy. Most of us, I hope all of us here are not murderers, but what about the other commandments? Stealing, hating, those are ones we have more trouble with. So some of them seem easy, and other ones it's hard to keep, but they're very important. But friends, we don't have that luxury to pick and choose the ones that we don't break as hard and say, well, what a good boy I am. You know, these are commandments, but that just might be, you know, your strength in that area. What about the other areas that's not so easy? Well, God doesn't give us the luxury of pick and choose. He says, if you love me, keep all of my commandments. Here's something else you study when you look at God's commandments. There are many varieties, And there are, I guess you'd say, commandments within commandments. It says in the book of Psalms, 119:96, "Thy commandment is exceedingly broad." God's commandments cover everything in life. And so, for example, when it says, "Thou shalt not kill," that implies that we are to protect life and cultivate it. And so you can apply that in many different ways. So there are many commandments in the Bible, but there are commandments and applications of those that cover all aspects of our life. Also, there are specific commandments that apply to specific people that may not apply to others. For example, when it says, "Husbands, love your wives," well, some of our bachelors will say, "Well, that doesn't apply to me." Okay, but it does apply to those. There are commandments given to parents to teach their children. Those that don't have children, it doesn't apply to them directly. For example, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes." "Okay, then feed my sheep." Pastors have this special duty that may not apply to other people. So each of us have certain commandments that everybody else has. But there are also some interesting commandments that apply just to some Christians because of their relationship or their station in life. But it's always a great responsibility to obey God, whatever the commandments are. But God doesn't lay upon us impossible commandments or irrational ones or unrealistic duties. 1 John 5:3 says this: "His commandments are not grievous." The word there means burdensome or harsh. God doesn't act like Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh? He had the Jews building all these things. Some even said he had them build the pyramids out of these rocks made out of mud. But then he took away the straw and they said, "How can we make the mud bricks without the straw?" Well, that was harsh commandment. God's not like that. He doesn't give us some impossible, unrealistic, burdensome, cruel commandment. No. Obedience should be a willing thing of the heart. In our responsive reading, we read one of those verses where God says, you know, it's not way out there. It's something unrealistic. You'd say, boy, even the angels couldn't keep that. No. God kind of says, look, these commandments, they're strict, but they're possible with His help. So obedience should be a willing thing of the heart, not unwilling drudgery. Let me show you something else important, and it's from the verses we read earlier. Turn to 1 John 2. I told you that these verses all dovetail together, but I want to point this out to you in case you missed it earlier. It's interesting that John was there and he recorded what Jesus said in John 14. "If you love me, keep my commandments." And that's repeated several more times in the next couple of chapters. And it's reiterated in 1 John. Look at chapter 2, verses 3 and following. It says, "By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." The Bible gives us several evidences, tests that we can take that show us if we really do know God. Not everybody knows God. Not everybody is saved. But how can a person know if he knows God? How can he know that he's saved? One of the tests, not the only one, but one of them is this: does your lifestyle evidence a life of obeying God's commandments? It says, "By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Now he turns it over to the negative. He says, well, there's a person who says, "Well, I know God." You know people like this. "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian." He says, but that person doesn't keep his commandments. He's not a Christian. He's a liar. Oh, there are a lot of people in the country that say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." I think something like, 92% of Americans say, "Sure, I'm a Christian." Put him to the test. You say you are? Prove it. Put up or shut up, buddy. You say you're a Christian? Prove you're a Christian. And they might say, "Well, how can I prove it?" Well, the Bible says you can prove it by your lifestyle. Not a perfect lifestyle, because nobody lives a perfect lifestyle of always obeying God. Only Jesus was perfect in that sense. But as a general course of life, and you see this in John 2, you see it especially in John chapter 3. So if a person does not keep his commandments as a general rule, John here is very blunt. He says, that's not a weak Christian. He says, that's a liar. He's not a Christian at all. The truth is not in him. But then he gets back to the positive, verse 5. "Whoever does keep his word," keep his commandments, "truly the love of God is perfectly developed within him. And by this we know that we are in him. Pretty important. So nobody can skive off, as they say in Scotland, to slouch off and say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know, I don't keep his commandments. John is very blunt and says, you're a liar. You say that you know him, prove it by your lifestyle of keeping his commandments. And so the liar is all talk without walk, but a true Christian will walk the walk as well as talk the talk. Where do you stand on this? Let's all examine ourselves, not the person next to you. Look at yourself. So what does a Christian do when he breaks a commandment? Which, by the way, happens far more often than we realize. It's kind of like holding your breath. You can hold your breath for a minute, 2 minutes, or that magician guy on TV the other day tried to hold it for 9 minutes. He didn't make it. Okay, it's kind of like that with sin. Even the strongest Christian might go a few minutes without sinning, but then he can't go very long without sinning. What do we do when we break his commandments? The Bible tells us, repent. No excuses. Confess it to God and say, Lord, I am sorry. Forgive me. I turn from that. Cleanse me afresh. And then by faith you receive his forgiveness. Daily part of living the Christian life. Now look back again at John 14:15, our verse for the morning. I want to apply specifically what Jesus says in this verse about keeping God's commandments. So let's look very closely at it. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, different Bible translations render the word keep in different ways. Some of them translate it as an imperative. If you love me, keep my commandments. King James, New King James, and other ones. Other ones, such as the NIV and other ones, has it as an indicative statement. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You say, well, which one is the truth? Well, they're both true because you find those statements elsewhere stated. And in the end, it doesn't matter because they're both true. If you love Jesus, Jesus tells you to do what he commands. It's a command. And if you do truly love Jesus, you will do what he says. So they're both true. But the order in this is absolutely essential. Put your nose back in that verse again. Open your Bible and keep your noses there. Not just your eyes, but your nose there. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you really do love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you see the order? It's absolutely essential. Love precedes and produces the keeping of his commandments, not the other way around. If you do love me, this will follow. Now, love is not the same as keeping his commandments. They are to be distinguishable, but not inseparable. Not with some lag in time or the people that say, yes, I love. Oh, I really love Jesus, but, you know, I don't really keep his commandments. No, no, no. First John always says that's a lie. They are distinguishable, but they are not inseparable. Now, if it's simply saying the same thing, it's what's called a tautology. If to love God is the exact same as keeping his commandments and keeping his commandments to love, then this is what it would mean. If you love me, love me. If you keep my commandments, keep my commandments. It'd be saying the same thing twice. It's a tautology. It's unnecessary. Love produces keeping his commandments, but it's not the exact same thing, and it's very important to realize this. I was discussing this with a preacher once, and he threw up his hands and he said, well, if keeping the commandments is not the same thing as loving God, I don't know what is. And I said, you've missed something important. Loving God is a holy affection in our heart where we're drawn out to him. That's the key thing. That's the most important thing in all the Christian life. It's the number one commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And it starts there. But that's not all that it is. It starts in the heart and it works outwardly. Love produces the obedience, but it's not the same thing as the obedience. Love in Christ is the driving force that enables us to truly keep his commandments. It's the impulse. It's the energy. It's the will. It's the gas in the tank, as it were. It's the get up and go that helps us and enables us to keep his commandments. Hear what Spurgeon said about this. Good old Spurgeon said, This is the spring and source of all holy living, love to the Holy One. Dear friends, have you been captured by the beauties of Jesus? And are you held in a divine captivity to the adorable person of your redeeming Lord? Then you have within you the impulse which constrains you to keep His commandments. He's got it. That's what Jesus is saying here. You go for the love, but you don't end with the love. The love is the fuel in the tank. Tony, when you fill up that car of yours, you don't say it's all filled up and then you go park it somewhere and don't drive it. You fill it up so that you can drive it. Love to Christ is, as it were, the gas in the fuel tank that helps us drive the car of obedience. I'd put it like this. Love is the heart of obedience. Obedience is the hands of love. We do something because we want to. Loving Christ is the wanting to that moves us to keep His commandments. The Bible never contrasts love and obedience like some people try to contrast it. They say obedience, commandments, ooh, that's legalism. Old Testament doesn't apply to us today. We're just led by the Spirit and do it when we feel like it. Bible never contrasts love and obedience. Let me read you a few verses. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. 2 John 6, this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. Even in the Ten Commandments it says this. Exodus 26, showing mercy to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. John 15:10 says that we abide in His love by keeping His commandments. So let's don't drive a wedge between them. They're distinguishable, but they are not inseparable. They cannot be separated. So you might say, okay, Preacher Daniel, you've convinced me. Keeping His commandments is important. But why should we do it? Well, the Bible again gives us many reasons. It's our duty. By the way, for Christians, there are even rewards given for keeping His commandments. We should also keep His commandments out of gratitude. It's like God rescued the Jews out of slavery in Egypt, brought them out there into the freedom, and they say, how can we ever thank you? He says, you want to thank me? Don't worship idols. Don't kill one another. These other things, He gave them 10 ways to express their gratitude. If we're thankful to Jesus for saving us from our sins, and every Christian should be, this is one of the ways of expressing our gratitude. And so there are many reasons, but here is probably the number one reason why we should keep His commandments. Because we love Jesus. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Sometimes when we just think of these other ones, it's like, that's a little bit hard. Can you give me some extra push? Jesus gives us the extra push. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will find it easier to do it out of gratitude and especially out of love for the one that loved us. Loving Christ and keeping His commandments are inseparable. Now, look at that both ways. Again, back to the verse, if you love me, keep my commandments. You cannot love Christ without obeying Him. It just flows naturally. Nor can you truly obey Him unless you also love Him. The two are inseparable, like two legs as you walk down the street. Without love for Christ, all commandment keeping is empty and hollow and hypocritical. It's all external, like the Pharisees. Oh, they would say, we keep the commandments of God. Jesus saw the hypocrisy because He saw in their heart no love. In fact, in one verse, He says, I see that you do not have the love of God dwelling within you. And so a lot of people, their spirituality is all on the outside. Oh, they say, I read my Bible, I go to church, but their heart's not in it. So it's all external show. And that's where legalism comes from. It's hypocrisy and it's not pleasing to God. Unless your heart is in it, it's not true obedience. The heart of keeping the law is keeping the law from the heart. And that's what Jesus is fishing for when He's talking to His apostles and to us here. Without love, we cannot truly obey. But with His love, we can do nothing else but obey it. It's the impulse that moves us. Now, as I keep saying, loving God is the greatest commandment of all. Notice how often it's brought out in these chapters here. Jesus says, if you love me, do you love me? Brethren, that is the most important principle in living the Christian life. It's the number one commandment. I've been your pastor for 11 years. How often have I said this to you? Loving God from the heart is the most important thing of all. And if you've missed that, you've missed everything in the Christian life. And I repeat that repeatedly. And sometimes I wonder if it's even touched some of your hearts. Some of you, I think it hadn't even gone in one ear and out the other. But you might say, yes, that's right. But has it touched your heart to love God with all of your heart? That's the most important thing of all. And you miss that, you've missed everything. And because you miss that most important thing, everything else doesn't fall into sync either. This is the driving force. But without this, it's like turning on a radio that doesn't have batteries or it's not plugged into the wall. No wonder there's no music coming out. It doesn't have energy in it. Without this love for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be able to truly obey God. Loving God is not the only commandment. It's the number one, but it's not the only one. Loving God is not a substitute for the other commandments. Unfortunately, some people make it like that. I read about a discussion among some theologians, and they were all talking about this. And these were the days of situation ethics. And one of them said, you know, Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor. He says, that's all that matters. And if we just love, then all these other commandments don't matter. In fact, the proposition was put forward that, you know, if you really do something out of love, it doesn't matter about the commandments, even if you break them. And so Joseph Fletcher wrote this book called Situation Ethics, and still being promoted today, and the idea that if you love someone, you can even break the commandments. So out of love, you can commit adultery. Out of love, you can steal. Out of love, you can do anything. So this is what that panel discussion was about. And all the people were nodding their head. Yeah. And then one person, believe it or not, a Catholic priest stood up and said, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he sat down. And everybody was deadly quiet, because even that Catholic priest knew that that's nonsense to say you can have love without following through with the evidence and the stuff of obedience to his commandments. There's no substitute for a loving obedience to God's commandments. Let me tell you a little story based upon something in the Bible. True story. It was about 20 years ago. My mother and I were at a church service down in San Antonio, and she'll probably still remember it to this day. We were sitting there, and the preacher started preaching on 1 Samuel 15. And I read this in my devotions just the other day. God's providentially tying these things together. And it's the story of King Saul, who was kind of a pitiful excuse for a king. And God, through the prophet Samuel, had said, when you go out there to battle, spare nothing. Kill all the animals, kill all the soldiers, even the king. Well, Saul won the battle, but he kept back some of the best cattle and sheep for himself and spared old King Agag. And so he thought he obeyed. And so here comes Samuel. And Saul felt a little guilty about this. So what he did was he tried to even it all out by making a sacrifice. So Samuel said, what's all these, this sheep and this cattle? You're supposed to kill them all. And Saul says, I'm going to sacrifice them to the Lord. Well, what about King Agag? Well, that's going to be a gift. He'll be like a servant in the palace. And this will be a sacrifice to the Lord. And what did Samuel say? Well, we read it in our responsive reading earlier. He said, obeying God is more important than sacrifice. And God is not pleased with our sacrifices if they're offered with disobedient hands. Now, when the preacher told that story, he said, now let's kind of bring that up to date. And he told this little story that's very applicable. He said, once upon a time, there was a little boy. And on Saturday morning, his mother says, now, Billy, I want you to first make your bed, clean up your room, and then after that, take out the garbage, then after that, mow the lawn. You can get all this done, your chores, before lunchtime. And so Mother went into the kitchen, and then she had to go shopping. Well, little Billy, you know, he did a little bit of this, and then he got to thinking, you know, boy, what a great spring day it is out there. And you know, I bet the fish are really biting down there at the creek. So he puts the broom down and leaves the garbage and doesn't even touch the lawnmower. Picks up the fishing pole. Knows his mother's not there, so he sneaks away. And boy, the fish weren't biting. By the way, when you disobey God, the devil will provide fish that are biting. Anyway, so he catches the fish, and on his way back home, he says, oh, boy, you know, Mom's going to be displeased with me when I get home. And, you know, the fish, I'll give it to her, but, you know, I better bring something else. So he happens to notice some flowers. So he picks up some flowers and says, oh, I know how moms are. So he comes home, and Mama says, Billy, what about that bedroom and the garbage and the lawn? Oh, Mom, look at the fish that I bought you and the flowers. Oh, Mom, I love you. By the way, every little boy tries that trick, and girls too, by the way. Now, what do you think his mama thought? She says, I didn't ask for fish. I didn't ask for flowers, Billy. I asked you to clean your room, take out the garbage, mow the lawn. If you do that, then those flowers will mean something to me and the fish. But that's not substitute for obedience. Well, when I heard that preacher tell the story, I kind of sank down. My conscience reminded me of doing that sort of thing when I was a little boy. My mother just looked at me and I looked at her and hung my head. I was a 31-year-old man at that time, but we feel guilty when we hear that because we try the same thing with God, don't we? By the way, let's just kind of strike while the iron's hot on this. You children need to obey your parents. The Bible says so. And there's no substitute for that. Not a nice Mother's Day card or happy birthday or a kiss on the cheek. Oh, Mom, I love you. If you love your mother, obey them. And you can't say, well, I love you, but I'm going to disobey you. Hasn't ever your father or your mother said, if you love me, do what I say. If you don't obey me, don't tell me that you love me. That's mocking me. By the way, the same principle applies to someone else that the Bible says that we need to obey. The Bible says obey those in the church that have authority over you. Look it up three times in Hebrews 13. We're told to obey our church elders. If you say you love me and Gary, do what we tell you to do within the sphere of our authority as your elders. If you love us, do the things we've told you about coming to church, praying, and these other things. I'll just leave that on top of your conscience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we do not have the luxury of saying, yes, I love you, but I disobey him. Jesus sees through that immediately. James 2 says, faith without works is dead. Faith will produce good works. But we could also add, love without works is dead. True love for Christ always produces obedience. And again, I keep saying this because we're all prone to this. We want the sweet, mushy form of spirituality. And oh, we come to church and we want to say, oh, how I love Jesus. But that's a mockery to the Lord Jesus Christ if you're not keeping his commandments. He says, don't sing that. Don't even think it without obeying me. That's how important it is. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Spirituality of way too many so-called Christians can be summed up like this. Yes, I love Jesus, but it's those icky commandments I can't stand. Let's be honest, that's something within us. Let me also say this. This isn't in my notes, but I've been thinking about this. Sometimes we kind of wish we could see God. You ever wish you could see angels and demons? I don't know how many people want to see the demons, but we get curious about those things. Have you ever wondered what the voice of Satan sounds like? You've got the echo of Satan's voice in you every time you read the Bible and God says, obey my commandments. And there's something within you starts looking for an excuse not to do it. That's the echo of the voice of Satan. You start thinking, well, you know, that's harsh. That's what Satan says about God's commandments. We say, well, this isn't convenient. Or, oh, you know, that's the voice of Satan trying to muffle the voice of God's commandments. It's very important. Do you think that this honestly pleases God when we disobey him and say, I still love him, but I disobey him? God sees right through that. Now, the heart of this verse is this. We obey His commandments to the exact same degree that we love Him, and vice versa. You cannot say, I love Him, but my commandment keeping is way down here. No, they are the exact same. Keeping His commandments is the measure. It's the evidence of how much we love Him. So it's never we love Him this much, but we keep His commandments this much. If you keep His commandments that much, that's how much you love Him. It's the measure. Much love for Jesus will produce much obedience. Little love produces little obedience. No love produces no obedience. So you turn that around. How much obedience do you have? No, little, or much? That will be the measure of how much you truly love Jesus. If we're weak in obedience, it's because we're weak in loving Christ. So it gets back to the root of the matter. Our heartfelt affection for the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing. So when we look at that disobedience in our life, again, we need to repent of that and say, Lord, I've been living this phony kind of Christian spirituality where I say, yes, I love Jesus and that's all that matters. Some people, it's not even that. They replace theology or charity or something like that. The main thing is love, but it's not the only thing. If you love me, keep my commandments. So we go to the root and restore that fervent love for the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. And then the true obedience will naturally follow. But what if you look inside your heart and then you look at your lifestyle and say, there is no love, there is no obedience? That right there is picture-perfect, indisputable evidence you are not a Christian. You cannot get away with the lie that says, I'm a Christian, but I'm a carnal Christian. There's no obedience. That's another one of those lies of the devil that you listen to. So if you look at this and say, you're right, Pastor, I am not a Christian. Remember, this is an important thing. To disobey God's commandments, that means you bring upon yourself the wrath of God, the curse of God, the punishment for your sins of breaking His commandments. So God's word to you then is repent. Turn from your sins. Admit that you've broken God's commandments without excuse. But turn to Jesus, who always kept His commandments. And He died and took the penalty for our disobedience. And by believing in Him, you can be saved. Christ really does want us to love Him. That's why He said it, if you love me. He's, as we're touching their hearts and ours, He really wants us to love Him. And He really wants us to obey Him. And brethren, when we follow His guidelines on this subject that I've tried to lay before you from the Word of God, by the help of the Spirit, then we truly grow in the spiritual life. We should aim to be like those good godly examples in the Bible that have learned this and have proven to be good examples for us, like David. Listen to what David said. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in His commandments. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. We should strive to be like that. In the last chapter of the Bible is this great blessing. Blessed are they that do His commandments. Let us pray. Father, this one sentence of Jesus touches our consciences. We don't love as much as we should. We don't obey as much as we should. Forgive us, Lord. Show us the importance of this. Forgive us and help us. Renew us, Father. Pour your love afresh into our hearts. And as it forgives us, may it renew within us the love for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us enough to die for us. And grant that that love would then issue forth in obeying you. For Father, something within us, the Holy Spirit, moves us in this direction. May the Spirit help us at all times to love Jesus and to keep His commandments. In Jesus' name, we pray.